podcast is brought to you by Washington Federal. Washington Federal is a local bank and portfolio lender with more than 200 branches across 8 states, more than 32,000 fee-free ATMs, 24/7 online and mobile banking with drive-up ATMs. And Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of Scorebook Live. They care deeply about high school sports and the communities that support them across the entire state of Washington. Head to WFDBank.com to learn how they can help you meet your financial goals. That's WAFDBank.com. Washington Federal, a neighbor you can count on. We hope everybody's staying safe and healthy. We're just as excited for high school sports to return as you are. This is the SB Live Washington podcast, a weekly conversation about high school sports across the Evergreen State. I'm Andy Bueller, statewide preps reporter, and joining me, as usual, senior reporter, your pal and mine, Todd Millis. Dan Dickow's here. He's the host of the ISO podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Gents, how are we doing?
We're good. I'm back from family vacation and ready to, you know, follow some high school sports, or at least some sports stories, which I know you're going to lead us into here in a few minutes. But some positive movement across the country, because sports are being played in a number of different places. And, you know, kind of getting back to as much to the normal as possible now.
Family vacations, Dan? Is that what you're calling your golf trip to Bandon and playing all these USGA, US Open golf courses that we see show up on Twitter, Olympia Fields, Pebble, Bandon? Come on.
I wish. No, my son and I took a two-day trip to Bandon, which was awesome. Weather was absolutely phenomenal. And then the picture you're referencing with Olympia Fields, that was about 2 years ago or so. Zach Bonneau, who also works with us at SB Live, and I were back there in the Chicago area for a meeting, and we got to tie in a little golf. But no, I just got done with family vacation. We took a trailer all the way out to Mount Rushmore and kind of spent some time in the Rapid City area, and then came back through Wyoming and Yellowstone. So all the start, at least the younger ones, and my high school age daughter, who's a junior, is getting ready to get the go ahead when the Meade school district is full go back in school.
Making the most of these times, for sure. So we have a lot to talk about on today's podcast, and it really centers around one story that's developed over the past couple of days. Thousands have signed a petition asking Washington's Governor Jay Inslee and the WIAA to resume the fall high school athletic season. It was started by 13 football players, all of whom names, ring some sort of resemblance across the state. They're number one player in the country, JT Tumalau, number one QB in the country, Sam Heward, USC bound Julian Simon, and many more. We have a full story on scorebooklive.com/Washington that gets really into the details that we'll touch on today. So head there if you want to read the story. But the story, as of recording time Wednesday morning, the petition has garnered more than 24,000 signatures. And I think the initial goal was like 5,000, and they surpassed that within half of a day. So a ton of movement, at least socially. They plan to rally at the Capitol building on Thursday, as we record this Wednesday morning. And this comes at a time when schools across the state are starting the academic year online. And when given an option, many districts aren't even holding low-risk sports in the fall, even though the WIAA allowed for it in its four-season revised calendar. But nationally, 34 states are playing football right now. Each state's response has certainly been different. Washington's has been more stringent in how it's shut down much of life, including high school football. So, Dan, Todd, these players are organizing a rally 4 p.m. Thursday. By the time you listen to it, this might have already happened. Is this a worthwhile effort?
I love it. I think it's great. I love the fact that young people are trying to have their voice heard, and they're doing it in the right way. You know, they're kind of following kind of what sounds like a protocol, and they're getting petitions signed. They're getting people to understand their side of this topic and get some support behind it. Whether or not it works and allows them to get to play this fall is hard to say. But, you know, I think, you know, with everything that's happened in this country over the last, you know, 6-7 months, you hear a lot of negatives, one side versus the other politically, one side versus the other with all these different things going on. And the young people in this country, whether you believe in one thing that doesn't coincide with the person sitting next to you in class, you have to learn how to go about having your voice heard and share your opinion without kind of attacking someone. And I think the way these student athletes, from what I read in the article that you wrote, Andy, and the way that they're going about it is amazing. I think it's great. Hopefully, you know, Governor Inslee takes a long look at what they're saying, and hopefully, you know, he gives it a long listen, and maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But at least I love the way that, you know, young people are kind of going out and trying to do something about something that they're passionate about, and that's playing sports this fall.
Dan, you hit it right on. You hit the nail on the head on this. Whether this is just an exercise or something comes out of it, the fact that these high school athletes are building off the momentum, what we're seeing in college football, what we're seeing in some of the pro sports, the fact that they are using their voice to raise awareness on a platform. And obviously in college football and in the pro games, it's about racial and social injustices. And this is about playing football. Whether you agree with it, whether you're on one side of it or not, the fact that they are learning in high school to use their voice in a meaningful, productive way, and the way in which they've gone about this is so impressive to me. And it's not, you know, and the fact that they've collected some of the big names in the state. You said Sam Heward. Cole Norah has been obviously a very visible face in all of this, has done a lot of media interviews. I saw him on TV last night over here in Seattle area. The fact that they've gone about this in the right way with the petitions and holding a rally tomorrow. I couldn't be more impressed with these young men and these young student athletes in the way they're using their voice, minus, you know, regardless of what the topic is and regardless of how you feel about it.
There are a lot of loud voices in this day and age, in this day and age in the digital media space, with seemingly every flashpoint issue in this country, there are a lot of loud voices that sometimes require tuning out. These guys are not those voices that you need to be tuning out. If you go on this petition, you know, they cite very specifically the reasons that, and I quote Cole, it's Norah of Mount Si, who I talked to after this petition went up. He said, you know, basically our argument is that the negatives of not playing fall sports or being in school in the fall semester are worse than the negatives if we were in school and playing football and other sports. And this comes from, you know, these athletes have a very specific perspective. And I think one of the striking things too is that Cole Norah is among all the names that are on this petition, he's a guy that stands to lose the most, miss out on the most from not having a fall football season. He's a bubble Division I kid who had a lot of momentum off of last season coming off of a knee injury where he missed half the season. And, you know, by all accounts, a really good fall season. He falls in the category of the Camden Sermons of Wenatchee, who moved to Montana and is now playing a high school football season for this very reason. Not everybody can do that. And so, you know, whether or not you know, this gains any traction, like you guys said, there are certainly voices that should be heard and perspectives that should be heard. And these are perspectives that we've talked about on this podcast for months. And you're seeing it bear out to, you know, a point of desperation with these kids. And I don't blame them. You know, it's in Washington here, school is starting, and neighboring states, you know, Idaho, Montana, Utah, Texas, like I said, 34 states across this country are playing high school football. Now, do we know that that's happening without, you know, potential disastrous spread of this virus? I think it's too early to say because the season is just starting around the country and we know how long it takes to track back the spread. So we don't know if all these safety precautions are working, but we do know that they are being taken in many states and high school football is being played. Todd and I, you and I, Todd, have shifted our focus into Idaho, where games are happening on a weekly basis and teams that have initially called off seasons are changing their mind. So I'll ask you this, Todd. In Idaho, what have you seen from afar? I know we haven't actually been there on foot, but in conversations with coaches around the state, what have you seen in Idaho? What kinds of precautions are being taken in a football season that is happening?
Well, I think Idaho is following the same protocol that was recommended by the NFHS. I mean, you talk about we've talked about this extensively on our podcast about all the things that the NFHS has recommended from working out in small groups to how you get back to how you return to practice to how you, you know, how you're able to field a football game. I think the Idaho coaches are long down that road. They just needed their school districts to take a chance on it. And it is taking a chance. You're right, Andy. We're not going to know the ramifications of from these states for weeks. It could be a risk that pays off. It could be a risk that's a disaster. That's saying that in a sort of an extreme manner, but it could be a disaster.
It could also be somewhere in between. I mean, we don't know. There's protocols. Right. If there's an outbreak, to how to control that and everything in between.
Correct. So, last night, the biggest school district in Boise, West Ada, went against their own county and state Department of Health recommendations and voted to let football return Friday night. And obviously there's a big rivalry game in Boise in the 5A ranks. That will get to be held. Now, different districts are doing different things about fans and whatnot, but they're playing football, and it's the same thing with Moscow High School, which has the number one recruit in the state, and Jonah Ellis. And if that name rings a bell, his dad and his brother both played in the NFL. Their school district voted to return to football as well after. 2 weeks ago saying we're going to cancel the season. So there's a little bit more momentum with this in Idaho that I think the Washington guys are hoping to capture some of on Thursday. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. But, you're right. It's frustrating for these teenagers to see football being played around the state. Dan, it's right across the border for you. You can probably speak to this. But, it's frustrating that they have to wait to 2021 while Idaho and states that are – in similar situations are moving forward.
Yeah. I know that, for example, I live in Spokane and 30 minutes away is Coeur d'Alene. And if I wanted to put on a basketball clinic, like I typically do in throughout the year, I could do it easily over there. I just have chosen not to. It's kind of one of those things where, yeah, you live so close to a different set of guidelines and restrictions or mandates there's a lot of why not over here questions being asked here. And obviously now on the west side where COVID is hit a little bit harder than, say, in the Spokane area, you're getting those kids that, as you guys both touched on, they're laying out a very detailed reason as to why they want to play and the benefits in their eyes that outweigh the potential risks. And so it's been really interesting to see how they've gone about that. At the end of the day, living here on the east side of the state, it's really weird that I could drive 20 minutes in the other direction and go to a high school football game, yet the stadium right down the street for my local school that I would want to go watch a game is going to be empty.
I should note that WIA Executive Director Mick Hoffman said that he first heard of the petition after it went up on Monday. So he wasn't privy to it beforehand. And he maintained what he pretty much the line he's maintained throughout this whole pandemic. That's, look, this is out of our hands. We want to give students the opportunity to participate when we get the okay from the governor's office and from the Department of Health. So the WIA, and he went on to say, and I think this is something that should be honestly tattooed across like the front page of any article or the top of any article that is written about COVID, is he says, many assume the WIA has the authority to make that decision. It appears our students have identified where the authority rests, which is with state officials. And I will say this, something I heard from the organizers of this petition, I heard it also from Tracy Ford, who runs Ford Sports Performance, is very active on social media. He's a trainer. He was one of the guys who was an architect of not only the rally that's going to happen on Thursday, but also I think he actually wrote the petition. So, you know, kind of on the backs of what he had been hearing from these players. But he said, he maintained that he said, look, we don't know if this, we have serious doubts if this 2021 football season is actually going to happen based on the way that this state has responded. And so there's kind of a healthy distrust for you know, how the state's response, what that means for high school sports, you know, going into 2021, even after we've weathered these few months. The governor's office responded to a request for comment on Wednesday as well and said that the governor hadn't seen the petition, but basically maintained that, you know, they're going to review the latest recommendations to not support extracurricular activities until schools are beyond online learning this fall. And so while so many are opting to go online, and these are district decisions, these aren't, you know, athletic director or head football coaches making these decisions, that's where the state lands. So,
well, Andy, if I can jump in real quick, you know, yeah. I read a really good article in regards to, you know, college athletics and why, you know, this can be a kind of a good example for high school athletics and being allowing them to play, even if you don't have the testing capabilities. But when you're in a team or when you're on a team and you're responsible not only for yourself, but for others, you know, you go to practice and you're going to follow the guidelines that are put down by the coach or your position coach in football. And you're going to, and if football is important to you, and we're just using football as an example, and if football is important to you, you're going to follow the directions from the coaches at practice. And then they're going to set forth an example of, hey, this is what we need to do. You guys need to do if we're going to have a football season take place. And that's going to be, when you're at home, you know, you need to stay with your families and you're not, you need to make sure you social distance and you wear your masks. And kind of put together a list of things that they can do and they can follow to keep themselves insulated and safe. Now I'm together a bubble, but you can insulate yourself to a certain extent. And there are people, really wish I read it at for, and if I can find it also, maybe you can link to it when you release this podcast. But it essentially said that athletes are used to taking criticism and coaching and then having to go implement it much more than other kids. And so they're going to understand and realize, and they're going to learn from it, that this will benefit them years down the road in life, consequences to their actions. And if they can follow through with these different things, they can, and I don't, they didn't use the term earn a football season, but they can have a football season end up. And then, you know, you repeat these steps. We're going to get past this pretty quickly. Certain guidelines and really, you know, empowering each other and trusting each other to follow those guidelines to minimize any potential risk there might be.
Well, Dan, I think your point is well taken. And you know, something to understand is that these 34 states that are playing football, this isn't the Wild West. They're not operating with no rules. They're following very strict guidance from this return to play that came down from the NFHS that was, you know, given the thumbs up by, you know, federal health officials. And so, you know, you're right. I had a football coach in a state that's playing recently tell me, you know, hey, I think that our players are more safe in our program going through our guidelines than they are out managing things on their own, going about life in that and where they live. And I think that speaks to the point that you just made, that we don't exactly know, you know, there's so much unknown about this virus, but what is known is, you know, in the states that are playing, they're following strict guidelines, and that's how football is being played.
Well, Andy, and I want to jump in here and make a point. You brought up what Mick Hoffman said, and we've talked about this in past podcasts about the, I don't want to say the tension, but the fact that the WIAA is hamstrung by all the governing parties of the state government that contribute to sort of the lay of the land. I sometimes think that the WIAA, and I know I'm sort of going out on a limb saying this, but I think the WIAA and the state sometimes don't see eye to eye on how to proceed with this. Now, if we look at what these student athletes are doing in Olympia on Thursday in sort of a not checkers but chess way, you know, they're maybe setting the stage for maybe they don't get fall football, but I think that what they're also doing is protecting the fact that, hey, we want football in 2021. If we're not going to have it this fall, we better have it in 2021. And they're putting a little pressure on the state government here. You know, they want to let the state government know, hey, we want our football season. And if that's a little bit of a pressure point with the state government starting in 2021, whether we have a season or not, then obviously they can look back at this and say, you know, that was a pretty beneficial thing that we did in September. You know, and I don't want to bring up another point here is I've talked to coaches in Washington. We talked about some of these neighboring states that are playing football. There's not an adversarial view or relationship that Washington has with these other states. I talking to some coaches in Washington, they're pulling for Idaho to have a full season. They're pulling for Idaho to be sort of the guinea pig in all this and be able to get through 10 games in a playoffs and so they can go back to their state association and their state government and say, see, look what Idaho's done here. Why can't, you know, we should be able to do the same thing by following the same protocols. It works. It worked in Idaho. It worked in Montana. It worked in Utah. It should work here in Washington.
It's a great point, Todd. I think that, you know, these states, for lack of a better term, the term guinea pig has been thrown around. I don't like that, and I can't think of a better term now. But the idea that, you know, a season can go on and you know, the prospect of, you know, a state following the guidelines and, you know, to a T and having a season go off, that's only going to further help high school football in Washington return. By the way, we'll provide coverage of this rally. You can find it on scorebooklive.com/Washington. Following me on Twitter at Andy Bueller, Todd at Many Hats Millis. One of the things that was cited in this petition is how the state's response has impacted certain players' abilities to get a college scholarship. And one of the things that's helped mitigate that are events like one that's taking place this weekend called the Northwest Nine. It's a quarterback competition. It's run by Taylor Barton, and it takes the top quarterbacks in the Northwest, high school quarterbacks, and pins them against each other. There's a lot of names in Washington that you will be familiar with, in Idaho, in Oregon, that are going to be competing this weekend. Todd, what do you know about this event? And you know, in talking and kind of talking to people that are participating in it, what's the viewpoint on how this might you know, help certain players get noticed when no sports are being played?
Well, I mean, the notice part, I don't know. Taylor Barton's obviously a very visible name and has been since his days helping his dad, Greg, as sort of the Northwest quarterback guru 20, 25 years ago. Now, Taylor Barton played at the UW and has lived up here since his playing days in Seattle and continued what his father did in Portland. So, I mean, the fact that Taylor Barton has attached his name to something like this and attract and been able to get the likes of Sam Heward. You talked about, I mean, Brett Elliott in Idaho is the Idaho representative. I mean, there's guys coming up from Oregon, but some of the big names in Washington. I mean, just the visibility of the event alone will bring some recruiting attention to it. The quarterback hit list I see is going to be here. So if you're a quarterback and you make this competition, yeah, I think college coaches are certainly paying attention to to what goes on up here. Again, it's a competition. It's not real football, but right now in lieu of no football in some states right now, it's the next best thing. And I think these teenagers will take it.
Absolutely. Three times a week, Dan, you're releasing your podcast, The ISO. Each episode is a new, just fascinating guest with, you know, tons of institutional knowledge in their respective field, in their respective sport, in the field of sports. What can listeners expect going forward? I know a great episode with Greg Oden just dropped that I would recommend everybody go and listen to.
Yeah, I know you mentioned the conversation with Greg Oden, which was nice to reconnect with him. Obviously, I was on the Blazers coaching staff one of the years. He was there rehabbing from injury. I got to know him, was putting him through some workouts, and then reconnected when he was a grad assistant coach or assistant coach kind of working through school at Ohio State, and I was doing broadcasting. So interesting and unique perspective that he has in regards to mentors, his high school experience. I mean, he won 3 state titles in Indiana. I mean, think about that for a second. Maybe the most competitive state in the country and most passionately followed sport in Indiana. It was awesome to hear some of those stories. And some other ones that were set to release, Ray Giacoletti, who's been a head college coach at a number of different stops. Casey Jacobson, we just recorded with Eric Musselman, head coach at Arkansas. Talked to Jason Hart this morning at USC. So we keep trying to bring different perspectives from the world of sports. And granted, it's more shifted towards basketball than other sports, but so many times we talk about their journey or what they view as important, as opposed to many times when you're hearing from coaches at this level or former players about, hey, what happened in this game? We're talking about kind of bigger picture stuff, mentors, experiences, what drove them in the past, some of the challenges that they had to overcome. So I'm having a blast kind of really talking to a lot of these athletes and coaches about these topics.
And you've been bringing it, you know, since this coronavirus pandemic came out. You know, if you are listening to this and have any inkling to get into the world of sports, just go back into the feed of this podcast, and you have your pick of the litter on experts that are talking about, you know, how they got into it, you know, what their tips are, and you know, from you know, 2K designers to you know, executives in the NBA, you really run the gamut. So subscribe there, wherever you get your podcast. It's called The ISO with Dan Dickow. This podcast is called SB Live Washington Podcast. Subscribe also wherever you get your podcasts, and if you do so on Apple Podcasts, leave a rating, review. You know, be honest. It helps us do what we do, and let us know how we can best serve you guys. So, Todd, Dan, I appreciate you guys making time. It's always great talking to you on a weekly basis, and yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how this petition plays out.
Hey, before we go, a little edit. Us sports writers can need to self edit once in a while. Brett Spencer is the quarterback coming over from Weezer at the Northwest 9, not Brett Elliott. When you're a sports writer, as long as I've been, you remember old Oregon quarterbacks, and you try and bring them to today's landscape. That's what we do when we see names. So Brett Spencer, sorry, Brett. Sorry calling you Brett Elliott.
I love the correction, Todd, but Andy, to finish, I'm really proud of these high school student athletes for putting this together. And I look forward to seeing the coverage that you provide on Thursday for what they're going to be doing in Olympia. And it may not move the needle in the next week or so, but maybe it moves the needle a month or two from now. So I'm looking forward to following that.
For Scorebook Live, I'm Andy Bueller. They are Todd Millis and Dan Dickow. We'll see you next week. This podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. You can find our work at scorebooklive.com/Washington. As always, a big thanks to our sponsor, Washington Federal. And thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. The song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. written by Carl Johnson, James Schroeder, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. Talk to you next week.